This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So we're starting the final subsection series as part of our theme for the year of Follow Me. And this section is called Do What Jesus Does. We do what Jesus did, but because Jesus is alive today, it's what he's doing today as well. So it's doing what Jesus does. And I think the question I want to ask or to reflect on a little bit this morning is, let's start with asking the question about Jesus and his bubble. Jesus and his bubble. Did you know that in the UK, there's approximately 30 million households? And if we were to take proportionately, think about the number of households listening to this broadcast. So if we were all together, there would be, well, you know, several hundred households represented. If there's, say, 100 households represented and you're looking around the room, 10 of those on average would be lone parent households. And then if we looked around the room of 100 households, about 24 would be people living on their own, singles. Mm-hmm. And then about 2/3 of the people are in the room would be households of couples with or without children, about 2/3, 66 out of 100. It's a really interesting mix. And as I understand it, the bubbles were introduced to in lockdown to help people who are single people or lone parents to enable some sort of extended family. And you may be in a bubble for romantic reasons or health reasons or just practical reasons. And by definition, a bulb excludes almost everybody. And our families, the 2/3, can sometimes be like bubbles, so precious that we end up excluding lots of people. And of course, that means we would have excluded Jesus, because Jesus was single. So I wonder, if Jesus were here with us today, what bubble he would join. Would he go with one of the disciples that hung around Jesus were all family men, and would he have gone with one of those, picked one of those, or would he have knocked on Martha and Mary's door and said, can we make a bubble? Or maybe he wouldn't have done a bubble at all, maybe being gone on his own. And thinking about this idea of Jesus and his bubble led me to address the question of what Jesus did, what does he do now about marriage and singleness. So my sort of motto for this talk is Jesus affirms singleness by living it well, and he affirms marriage by endorsing it. I'm aware that for most of us, relationships are sometimes very difficult, and your current situation may be unpleasant, or you may have painful history. We all get this stuff wrong, and we all have a brokenness in our relationships, in our history. But the gospel message, the Jesus message, is one of restoration and mercy and grace and love, second chances. And although Jesus lived a perfect life, he sacrificed that life for us so that we can be forgiven and cleansed and empowered to live a better story. And my vision is for our church, and if you're a visitor for your church, is to be an extended family where single people and nuclear families can flourish. A broad community encompassing a whole range of situations, learning to live our lives really well and to affirm one another. Not trying, but practicing, as Alison taught us last week. Jesus affirms singleness by living it well, and he affirms marriage by endorsing it. So I want to look at a passage, which is quite a difficult passage in the scriptures, and it's full of all sorts of history and assumptions and idioms and worldviews to do with marriage and divorce and celibacy and singleness, and we can't possibly touch on all of those. We will look at some of those more tonight and unpack some of those issues. But I want to look at this one major thing about what Jesus does about singleness and marriage. So would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19? Matthew is one of the biography is about Jesus, and it's a recounting a story about him having a discussion with some Pharisees and then a feedback time with his disciples. Some Pharisees came to him, it says, Matthew 19, verse 3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh in the beginning. That's back in Genesis. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. He's quoting from Genesis. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your heart was hard. But it is not this way from the beginning, back in Genesis. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. The disciples said to him, if that's the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to get married. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus affirms singleness by living it well, and he affirms marriage by endorsing it. See, our culture leans heavily into coupledom. Our stories and songs and our watching assumes coupledom is going to happen eventually. We say things like, when you get married, rather than if you get married. Holidays are often priced for couples and not for singles. We set aside a day of the year to spotlight and nothing else but the traumatic accomplishment of being able to send a Valentine's card. Marriage is a sacrament, and families are special, and I hold both in the highest regard. But if marriage and family are the only or the best way to live life, then what are we to say about Cliff Richard, Edward Heath's life, Mother Teresa, Queen Elizabeth I, the Pope, the Dalai Lama, Emily Dickinson, Florence Nightingale, Evangeline Corey Booth, the Salvation Army leader, Mike Pilavachi, my own brother, Andrew, and the Apostle Paul. Oh, and there's Jesus too. So when it comes to being single or being married, how do we do what Jesus does? And Jesus affirms singleness by living it well, and he affirms marriage by endorsing it. So, if you are single, or whilst you are single, live it well. If you're married, live that well. So if you're single, if you look at verse 11, it's clear from the way Jesus talks about it that he holds celibacy as the gold standard. And he describes it as a gift. He says it has been given. But the language, that eunuch thing, it's all quite idiomatic, and it reflects a very different culture to ours. For the Jews of that time, marriage was considered pretty much an obligation. And most people were married young, and should they be divorced or widowed, they'd be remarried really quickly, and the main aim was to have children. In our culture, people get married much later. So compared to first century Palestine, we have a huge population of single people. Look at the statistics I went to at the beginning, about a third of households. For now, I think Jesus would be saying something like some people choose to remain celibate and single, either for a while or for life, and they are to be celebrated. Many people are currently single, but intend to get married eventually. For them, this is a little while gift. For others, it's a lifetime gift. For lots of reasons. Being single and celibate is a noble calling. It's one that grants you freedom to pursue a higher calling. There will be a cost to that. It will involve sacrifice. But it allows you to get closer to Christ and to fulfill your God-given life purposes much more effectively. So if you are given that gift, if you are called to a single life, live it well. Stay celibate, pursue Christ Jesus, give yourself to your life purpose, and do it with joy and celebration. If you are married, live that well. The implication in the Pharisees' question and in the disciples' reaction is that marriage is too difficult if you don't have the divorce option to get out. It remains attractive only if divorce is available. The fact is that whilst marriage seems to look great from the outside, all of those of you who are married or who have been married will know that whilst it too is a wonderful gift, it comes with many difficulties and the need for many sacrifices. There is a cost to marriage too. Jesus' discussion in this passage assumes as much. And nevertheless, Jesus bases that sacrament of marriage back into the Genesis declaration we read earlier on. If you look at verse 4 and 6, and he says, you know, for this reason, a man will leave his wife and mother and be united to his wife. So in so doing, when Jesus says that, he is very strongly affirming marriage, 100%. So if you're married, work hard at doing it well. Stay faithful. Aligning your purposes to each other. Living sacrificially. Remaining close to Jesus. And doing it with joy and celebration. And I don't know if you noticed, but that sounds remarkably like what it means to live well as a single person. If you are single, whilst you are single, endorse marriage. And if you're married, endorse singleness. It's my final point. If a man and a woman decide to get married and knowingly commit themselves to each other, to be faithful and to stick with each other for life, whatever comes, well, that's an amazing thing to be celebrated and supported. It fits in with God's order of creation, and it creates the building blocks of a society in which children are born and raised. If a man or a woman decide not to get married, but to stay single and celibate, as Jesus describes it here, for the kingdom of heaven, whether that's for a short while or for a lifetime, then that is also an amazing thing to be celebrated and supported, and it fits in with God's creation order and is exemplified in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I said at the beginning, we get it wrong. So when we do, let us repent of that and receive his forgiveness and step forward once more into the life into which you've been called. If you're single, live it well. If you're married, live it well. If you're single, endorse marriage. If you're married, endorse being single. Jesus affirms singleness by living it well, and Jesus affirms marriage by endorsing it. So as a church community, with many different bubbles and shapes and situations, let us be a family where all these different single people and families are affirmed, where marriages are affirmed, and where we all work together for one another. With the help of his Holy Spirit and inspired by what Jesus does, let us offer the world a better story. Amen. So, everybody, I'd like to pray into that a bit, I think. and Alison will join me in a moment to pray with through some things as well. But in sharing those thoughts with you, I think some of you, it will bring up mistakes, failures, disagreement, all sorts of challenges in that. And I just want to pray through that a bit. I got the sense that some of you will be thinking, becoming aware that you're trying to do this stuff on your own. On your own, trying to do life, trying to do relationships on your own. And the good news is that you can surrender your life unconditionally to Jesus and receive his love and forgiveness and learn to live life in a new way. So I want to pray into that. And if you've never decided to follow Jesus, this is the best decision you could make in your life. Let me pray a prayer for that, and you can just pray with me and say amen. You want to join me? Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, we come to you with hands up. Awareness of the mistakes we've made and the way that we haven't done these things as you do them, both in living life well, but also in affirming and accepting one another. And we just say, Lord, we're sorry. And we receive your forgiveness and your inspiration to go again. And by the power of your Holy Spirit to live a better story. And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who want to just surrender their lives and all that stuff to you, maybe for the first time. So if that's you, pray this prayer with me. I come to you, Lord Jesus, grateful that you accept me and love me, whatever state I'm in. And I'm truly sorry for the mistakes I've made and for just messing up, for damage I've done, for damage that's been done to me. I'm just sorry for the things that I've got wrong in this area. And I choose to surrender to you and to give my life to you and to allow you to lead me into this challenge of doing life and relationships and all that goes with it. I commit to following your guidance and the way you do things as best I can. Amen.